Excuse me, I have the wrong bulletin here. The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the 31st chapter of the Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." They answered him, "We are descendants of Abraham and have never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean by saying, 'You will be made free'?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So over the past 2 years, we have been rummaging around into our Reformation heritage in order to observe the 500th anniversary of what turned out to be, to say the least, a cataclysmic event which changed Western history. The official dating of the event is All Hallows' Eve, 1517, when a young friar by the name of Martin Luther, member of the Augustinian order, wrote a document which he entitled simply 95 Theses in Latin, posted them according to legend. We don't have independent, I'm sorry to say, we don't have historical independent confirmation that he actually did nail it to the door. He may have, but we don't know for sure. But in any case, he wrote this thing, and he wrote it in Latin, so for the sake of creating a debate. He wanted to debate the sale of indulgences, which said the church, in essence, told people, now they needed, Pope Leo X, who was one of the Medicis in Italy, very rich and powerful family for years and years during Renaissance Italy, he wanted to rebuild St. Peter's Basilica into the magnificent thing in that it is today. If you've ever been there, it's just unimaginable. Okay, but he needed a lot of money to do that. So he decided to, what he said, "I'm going to draw from the merits of the saints and of Christ, who earned so many merits that they left some behind, so that we can take those merits that they earned but didn't need and sell them to people who don't have enough," right? That's what an indulgence was. So this really slick salesman, Johannes Tetzel, comes to town, and boy, did he know how to hit people right here where it hurt. He walked into town and he says, "Think of your poor mother and father screaming in purgatory, saying, 'I left you everything. I cared for you as a child. Can you not at least put a coin in the coffer to free me from purgatory?'" Well, of course, people felt so guilty, they started pulling out money like crazy. And Luther's parishioners came to him with this paper saying their sins were forgiven. And it drove Luther absolutely nuts, because he believed the eternal souls of his parishioners were at stake. So he wrote this thing, and he just wanted a debate. He just wanted to have an academic debate, okay? The debate never happened for years. It happened eventually, but not for a long time. But the printing press had just been invented, and this thing spread like wildfire. Clearly, Luther hit a nerve among the, not just the common people, but even the princes in Germany, who didn't like the fact that all that German money was being sent to Rome. And all of a sudden, in no time, this guy was a hero. So that's what started the whole thing. However, we would be sorely mistaken if we thought that the Reformation was about Martin Luther or anything he did, because it was not. It was not about the 95 Theses. It was not about his stand at the Diet of Worms in Wittenberg. In the city of Worms. That was a monumentous event. You know, when Luther appealed to his conscience as something that would enable him to stand before the secular and the ecclesiastical authorities and say, I have to obey my conscience, where do you think that ended up? That ended up in the notion in Western history that a conscience, your conscience, is sacred, and that the government or anybody else has no business telling you what to believe. And that eventually leads to the First Amendment to our Constitution. So the impact was enormous. But the Reformation wasn't about that. It was not about anything. In fact, Luther himself said, I didn't do a thing. The Word did everything. And then later on, when the church became known as Lutheran, he says, who am I, poor sack of maggots that I am, that the children of Christ should name themselves after me? But the name stuck. And then when he was asked to write a preface to his 120 volumes of written works, he wrote this. You would think he'd be proud of that, right? You'd think so. But he wrote this. Anyone who thinks he has written many fine books, anyone who thinks they ought to be admired and that everybody should say, look at that wonderful person, such a person should grab a hold of his ears. And what he will find is that they grow long and shaggy until his face looks like that of a donkey. Luther's words were more colorful. Remarks such as these should give us pause. If the Reformation isn't about Luther or what he did, then what are we fussing about? Many years before Martin Luther or Philip Melanchthon or the German princes who stood up in protest and so became known as Protestants, many years before that, there was a small young maiden named Mary from a little village in Palestine called Nazareth. One day, a miracle occurred in Mary's womb. The God who called Abraham to leave absolutely everything he had to follow his promise. And so to demonstrate what it looks like to have faith. The God who spoke through Moses, whose laws were essentially love God and love your neighbor, plain as that. The God who spoke through the prophets, calling the people to repent and sending them promises of their own redemption. This God entered human history and became flesh in the person of Jesus Christ. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Word took on human flesh, and his teaching and his deeds could be boiled down to one simple thing. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Everything he said and did boils down to that. The way in which he lived demonstrated what that looked like. He was the very embodiment of who God is for us. And he was also the very embodiment of who we are meant to be as children of God, what our lives are meant to look like. But of course, We didn't have his divine power, and we don't. We can ask questions like, what would Jesus do? And maybe we could answer those questions. Well, Jesus, when he was faced with a risk, when he was faced with something that might cost him even his life, he showed a level of freedom that nobody else has ever showed. He was perfectly obedient to his Father in any and all things. He never showed any fear or anxiety. On the contrary, he says, why are you anxious? Why do you worry about what you shall eat or drink? Seek first God's kingdom, and these other things will be yours as well. He was never worried about money, that's for sure. He never had any. In fact, he told a parable once about a rich man who thought he was really secure, filled his barns full of grain, took his ease, thought, hey, now I'm going to live the good life. And the next day he fell over dead. And Jesus said, such is the way it will be for people who are not rich toward God. But he was. And because he was rich toward God, he was able to show us what it looked like to be rich toward God. But unfortunately, his contemporaries, and we're no different, couldn't deal with what he was requiring. They didn't like it. He was a troublemaker. He was causing people to think things that would make them detach themselves from the authorities around them, right? What he was doing was something that Luther said faith does in a little book called The Freedom of a Christian, where he said, what is that freedom? That freedom is that a Christian is the perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none save Jesus Christ. Period. And so, because people didn't like that he was challenging their power, they crucified him. But fortunately for us, the miracle did not stop there. In an event that would change absolutely everything and open up possibilities for miracles in our life from this time forward and for the rest of history to the end of time, he rose from the dead. He returned to his disciples. He empowered them with the Holy Spirit. And they discovered that same divine love that Jesus lived in for all of his life. They discovered that, yes, we can't do what Jesus would do by our own power and strength. We can't climb up into heaven, open the door ourselves. And because we can't do that, God instead climbed down. He came to us, and he opened the door for us in his Son, Jesus Christ. He opened the door of life, of love, of forgiveness, and of salvation. And he called us to believe that word as it was proclaimed from the housetops, and it spread like wildfire. Now, by the time of Luther's day, the church had gone wrong. It had started to adopt doctrines which were not in the apostolic witness, the New Testament, the documents written by the people who knew Jesus himself. And so they went off on a whole different road. No, you can earn merits by adoring relics. You can earn merits by doing that. And today, maybe we don't adore relics. Maybe we don't go on pilgrimages. Maybe we don't do that. But we work really hard to make ourselves look really good in the world. We want to be successful. We want to be wealthy. We want our Facebook page to make it look like, look at this family here. Aren't they wonderful? Everything is perfect. As if all of that's going to make us happy. As if all of that is going to prepare us for the day when we have to say goodbye to this world. The problem today is no different than it was in Luther's day. It's just that the culture has changed. There's different standards. It's not any big, overblown ecclesiastical authority that's telling us what to do. It's a culture that tells us if we don't measure up in certain ways, our lives are a failure. So, the message of Jesus Christ is the same today as it was then. Jesus Christ frees us from all of those external authorities that tell us you have to be X, you have to be Y, you have to be this, you have to be that, or you're unacceptable. Because what makes us acceptable is not anything we do. That's a hard nut to swallow. It really is. Because we want to be in control. We want to be in charge of our own future. We want to be in charge of our own security. And to live in the freedom that Jesus lived in and not worry about those things, that sounds unreasonable. It sounds ridiculous. Well, what about the freedom of people who have much but live in faith? Luther added a second sentence to that little book on the freedom of a Christian. He said, you're not subject to anybody, but at the same time, you're subject to your neighbor in need. Now, what does that mean? Isn't that a contradiction? No, because people who are free do not have to hold on to and grasp what they have as if their lives will go down the tubes if they lose it. They are able to let go and use what they have to serve a world in such horrible need. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's what it means to be free. You are subject to nobody except Jesus Christ. He is your Lord. He is your Savior. If you put your faith in Him, you become free. But we don't use our freedom as an opportunity to do whatever we want, because then we just fall right back into slavery. We use our freedom to serve a world that's in need. So, on this Reformation Sunday, we can't celebrate it in any other way than to turn back to the source. You know, Luther didn't discover anything new. There were no new advances in theology, no nothing. All he did is discover that it was there all along in the pages of the Bible, which had been there for the last 1,500 years. So take the Bible off the shelf, clean off the dust, read it, pray over it, let that word soak into your heart, open yourself up, let the Spirit plant that seed, and let it grow. Each day of your life, recommit yourself to that word, and you will become free. As Jesus said to a bunch of people who had been slaves over and over again and claimed they weren't, we all live in denial in that regard. We think we're free and we're not. Continue in my word, and you will be free indeed. Amen.